And we're holding on page Yud Zayin in Gittin, the third line of the middle size lines, middle of Ois Memvav. We're in the middle of talking about a bunch of remedies that the Gemara brings for various kinds of illnesses and diseases and conditions and whatnot. We talked about yesterday that the Marsha explains that the Chachamim had to write these down because otherwise, like the rest of Torah Shabbat Peh, they would have been forgotten, but that in practice we can't use them nowadays. We shouldn't even mention that because of a variety of reasons, and that if we do try using them, then they don't work, they might not work because we don't know the particular details of them, some of the ingredients are a little obscure, and you have different opinions about them and all kinds of other considerations like that, then people might end up doubting other things that the Chachamim say as well. So, with that said, you know, where we have explanations from Chachamim, like yesterday we talked about from a Levit, of deeper ideas behind them, then we can certainly learn those. Okay, so the Gemara goes on. L'shabriri d'yumama. Yesterday we talked about a person has shabriri d'leilya, which is night blindness. Now you have day blindness, not where a person is completely blind, but in other words, where he can't see well in bright light. So leisi shiva sumki, he should take seven spleens. From the insides of animal, of shechted animals. The Rashi explains that sumki means tcholim, which are spleens. The Aruch explains rather that it means pieces of lean meat, as we had earlier in the Perek. The Gemara had mentioned bisra sumka, which meant red meat, as opposed to, in other words, fat meat or fatty meat, which is marbled with white. In any case, so seven pieces of spleen, or seven pieces of lean meat, whatever, migava dechevsa, from animals that have been shechted, v'nitvinu achaspa de'umna, he should roast them on a piece of earthenware that was used by a bloodletter. The bloodletter has earthenware kalim, that when he lets blood for people, he puts it into that keli, the blood drains into that keli, so he should use that kind of keli to roast this meat. The lace of Ihu Migavoi, then he should be sitting inside the house. The inner shakrina meavroi, somebody else should be sitting outside. The name alay, and the name alay avira, and the blind person, the person who's suffering from this day blindness, should say, Havli de'echol, give me to eat. The name alay ha'ech, and the other, the name alay ha'ech psicha, and the other one, the sighted person, should tell him, Sav echol, take it and eat it. After he finishes eating the seven pieces of meat, he should break the piece of earthenware. If not, then this problem of the day blindness will come back to him. Okay. Next, l'dama d'osim inechira, when a person is having a nosebleed, leisei gavra koyin nishmei Levi, he should bring a koyin whose first name is Levi, v'lichtiv le'Levi l'mafreya, and this koyin should write for him the word Levi backwards. What, did I skip something? You made a motion, okay. Okay. Yeah. So, and he should write the word Levi backwards, Yud Vav Lamed. One thing is, you know, a Koyan is an Isha Chesed, Levi always represents Gvura, and writing something backwards a lot of times we find that means weakening the power of it. So here a Koyan, an Isha Chesed, writing Levi backwards, Bepashtus represents then the using Chesed to overcome Gvura, where after all his nosebleed represents a big problem of Gvura, blood in general represents Gvura. The nose, for that matter, also is often used as a symbol in Tanakh of anger. Charoi Nach, for example, Rashi explains that you see anger in a person's nose, a person's nostrils flare. So therefore, the Pashtus, I guess we can understand that the Gemara is talking about over here somebody who's suffering from a severe excess of Gvura, and therefore you want to break that, you want to counteract that with Chesed. The Eloi, if not, if you can't find a Koyan of that name, Lacey Inishma Alma, then take any person, doesn't have to be Dr. Koyan named Levi, the Licht of Lay, and that person should write the following words, Ano Papi Shila Bar Sunki Lamafreya. He should write those five words backwards. The Eloi, if not, if he can't find anybody to do that, or if he tried and it didn't work, Nicht of Lay Hochi, then instead he should write him a different Lachash. Tam Dlib May Kesef, the taste of a bucket with silver water, tam dli b'mei pegum. and the taste of a bucket in water of pagum. Pagum is it can mean pagam as in a defect. It can mean pagum, which is a type of grass called rue in English, a type of herb called rue in English, whatever it is, it's a lahash. The Eloi, if that's still not working either, lace the ikra d'aspasta, take roots of aspasta. Aspasta is a grass that they would use in those times, particularly for animal feed. Maybe something like alfalfa or something like that, whatever. The ashla d'puya atika, and a rope from an old bed. Beds in those days were made. You'd have a wooden frame. You'd have ropes that are woven back and forth to make a network. And then on top of that, they would put the mattress. So now you have a rope for an old bed, the courtesa, and then you also take paper made out of rags, umariki, and saffron, the sumka de luliva, and the red stuff from a lulav. You have the moch that you have on the back of a lulav. The niklinu bahadi adjadi, burn all those things together. The lacy gvava de amra, then take a piece of wool. The nigdol tauki psilosa, braid or spin two thick wick shaped things out of that wool. The litmash bachala, dip these wick-like things in vinegar, vinigdabal batikma hadain, and then roll them in this, and then roll them, once they're wet with the vinegar, roll them in the mixture of ashes that you made by burning all of that concoction together, vinesa vinechire, and put those wicks into the nose. On a very basic level, I guess you could imagine, between the vinegar and between the ashes helps stanch the bleeding. The Eloi, if that doesn't work either, lest the Amasamayim da'azvas mimizrach klapim ma'irav, you should go find a water canal that runs from east to west. The Nifsa, he should stand astride it. The Nekum chad kara lahai gisa, the chad kara lahai gisa, one leg on each side of the canal. Then take some mud with his right hand from under his left foot, and some mud with his left hand from under his right foot. Again, make two wick-shaped things out of wool. And soak them in the mud. And put those in his nostrils. The Eloi, and if not, boy, by this time the guy has been having his nose bleed for a long time. Poor fellow, he's gone through all these things and it still hasn't worked for him yet. So now, Lasif Tuse Marziva, you should sit under a rain gutter where the rainwater drains off from the roof. The Naisumaya, the Lishdiale, they should take water and pour it down on him, I guess through the drain pipe. The Lemru, and they should say, Kiheshe de Paski Hani Maya, just as this water stops, lifts it dumb into Planya by Planissa. The blood coming from Plany by Planis should stop. So hopefully with one or another of those things, and that takes care of the nosebleed. Okay. Next, the Dhamma de Osi Mipuma. Now, if a person is bleeding from his mouth, now we don't just mean, in other words, like he has his gums are bleeding. We mean there's some blood coming from someplace in his throat or something and coming up through his mouth. So the first thing we need to find out is where it's coming from. Without x-rays, here's how you do it. But kinele the gilo de chitza. We use a wheat straw to check it. Isorich. If the blood sticks to the straw, mereya kasi, then you know that this blood comes from the lungs, the isfatakanta, then there's a way to fix it. You're going to be able to cure him, as the Gemara will explain soon what the cure for that is. The Eloi, if the blood doesn't stick to it, mikavda kasi, then you know that this blood is coming from his liver, that his liver is degenerated, and now the Gemara elsewhere, by the way, describes that the liver is basically one big piece of blood. It's not literally, but that's why in halacha, for example, you can't cook liver in the normal way. You have to roast it. So here you have, in other words, basically, if there's blood coming, which we can identify as being from the liver, then it means that the liver has melted away, basically, and become blood. The less they take, and then there's no way of fixing up the situation. But the Gemara says, Omalei Rav Ami, Rav Ashi. Why is that? You're telling me that a problem with his liver is more life-threatening than a problem with his lungs. V'hanan ipchatanan. We learn when it comes to the halachas of treifas of animals, it's exactly the other way around. And generally speaking, that the treifas of animals usually apply to people as well. Sometimes there are exceptions, but by and large, we can derive one from the other. And we learn in a Mishnah in Cholin, Nitala Kovid, if the liver is completely gone, if the liver is missing, and there's nothing left of it, as opposed to what it talks about over there, if there's an olive-sized piece left of it, and because of a suffix over there, the olive-sized piece needs to be in two different places. Anyway, the point is, but if there's nothing left of it, but you see, in other words, it has to be the entire liver is gone, because otherwise, if there's those kazai-sized pieces, it will regenerate. The liver is pretty much unique among the internal organs that can regenerate from even if part of it is missing. On the other hand, but with the lungs, if it has a hole, or if it's missing anything of its substance, then already the animal is treifa. So why over here are we saying that if there's bleeding from the lungs, then it's better, then the person is better off than from the liver? And the answer is, Kibin de Mipume Kaasi. Sure, but over here, since the blood is coming from his mouth, now the liver is lower down in the body than the lungs. You have the diaphragm between them. So therefore, we would have to say, if things have gotten so bad that the blood is backing up over there coming all the way up to his mouth, Eimer, we have to say, itmuchi itmach, the entire liver must have melted away, and therefore, yeah, it would mean, as we said, as opposed to, in other words, it's not normal for there to be blood from the lungs in the throat and then in the mouth, but it's not so, it doesn't show that the lungs have been completely wasted away. It just means that there's some kind of injury in that area which can be healed. All right, Omamar, so now we said, if the blood can be shown to come from the lungs by the fact that it sticks to the straw, Isle Takanta, then we said there is a way of fixing up the situation, there is a cure for him. My Takante, so what is the cure? Lacey Shiva Kuni, you should take seven. Now Rashi's girsa is Kuni. On the side of it here, it brings up there's a different girsa, Buni. Either way, actually, it means the same thing, it means fistfuls. So seven fistfuls, mipirma de silka, from beets that have slices or mashed up beets, silka or beets. Pirma means that they're either cut very fine, means that they're cut up very finely. So seven handfuls of those, the shivakuni pirma de karti, and seven handfuls of finely chopped up leeks, the chamisha kuni prida, five handfuls of prida. Rashi gives two explanations. One is that it's a type of herb. The other explanation, Rashi gives a French word which translates as pieces of wood from a wild cherry tree. There are a couple of, there's a sefer called Otsa Laze Rashi that goes through all the Lazim and Rashi in Tanakh and Gemara and tries to identify them. Most of them can be identified as words in French, in the dialect of French that was spoken in Rashi's times, which by now is, the language has changed over hundreds of years. It's not identical with modern French either. Some once in a while, you have Rashi sometimes uses translations from other languages. So the sefer goes in and tries to identify them also. He identifies the word that Rashi uses of him, medirashish or whatever, as a wild cherry tree. Next, utlosa kuni de tlofri, three fistfuls of lentils, vikuna de kamoina, and a fistful of cumin, which is a spice, vikuna de chavli, and a handful of chavli. Rashi doesn't translate over here what chavli is, and it's not so certain. One possibility is the word might be not chavli, which would mean ropes or something. It might be actually chalvi, which in that case is mentioned elsewhere in Shas. There's a plant called the netz cholov, which is a plant in English they call it Star of Bethlehem. It's a plant that has white star-shaped flowers. So maybe that's what the Gemara means over here. Ukenegdon. So now you have all of that, seven fistfuls of that, and seven of that, and five of that, etc. Ukenegdon, then an amount equal to all of that from Kanta Patirta. From Kanta, which is the intestinal fat, Patirta of a firstborn animal. So you have all of that, the Livshul, then you cook all of that together. V'leichol, then he should eat that concoction. V'lishti abastri shichra harifa the tevis, and after that he should drink strong beer from tevis. The strong beer that was brewed or fermented during tevis. Okay. Next. L'kocha, if a person is suffering problems with kocha, now Rashi translates kocha as the molars, the teeth that are further back. There are other places in Shas, Tosfos discusses over here that in general, there are a number of places in Shas where Rashi translates kochi as the gums. However, Tosfos points out that there's various other Gemaras that imply that not. There's Gemaras that mention removing the kochi, for example, and you can't very well remove a person's or an animal's gums. So therefore, so Tosfos says, it would be like what Rashi's saying over here, that it means the molars, the back teeth. Anyway, l'kocha, so a person is having a toothache or some other kind of problem with his back teeth. Amar Rabbi Bar Avuna, leisi tuma yichida, take a single garlic, which Rashi describes. Usually you have a bulb of garlic has several cloves in it. Here you have where it grew only one clove of garlic in the bulb. The nimr seba mishka, then grind it up and mix it with oil. The mishcho milcha, grind it up with oil and salt, which actually, by the way, makes a pretty good dip called sparlik. I mean, try it sometime. Ground up garlic mixed with oil. It makes a pretty good dip for challah. But yeah, here you grind up the garlic and the strong garlic that we're saying over here that grew as only one clove in a bulb. Grind it up, mix it with oil and salt. The nesrak to froy the uyoina dahu gisa the Kayavle, and then put some of it on the fingernail, on the thumbnail of the side on which he has the tooth pain. So if it's molar on the right side is bothering him, then put some of it on his right thumbnail. Then he should surround that concoction with a ring of dough. And be careful that none of this concoction gets on his skin, because it can cause tzaras. So it's a strong medicine, but that's why you put it on the fingernail so it gets absorbed into the nail bed rather than directly through the skin, and that will help the toothache we're talking about. Next, l'chinchi. When a person is suffering from chinchi, so Rashi describes that this is where a person has blisters that grow in his throat. Elsewhere, the Gemara mentions a very similar kind of thing called askara, where basically these blisters can get so big, these blisters or whatever can get so big that they can block off a person's airway. So here the Gemara calls it chinchi. So what do you do for that? Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan says you have. Now there was a common kind of treatment that people used in those days called mamru, a type of herb. Rashi just says over here that mamru is, well, first Rashi, so Rashi quotes again a French word for it, which translates in English as a plant called alpine fennel. The Oruch HaShalem brings another possibility. There's another plant called swallow wort. Whatever it is. Anyway, there was a common treatment like that. But Rabbi Yochanan says chumti, a different type of herb called chumti, which is a plant. In English, it's called, I've seen different translations, pellitory or pyrethrum or feverfew, whatever, some kind of plant like that. Unless you're a pharmacist, you're probably not going to come across these plants anyhow. One thing, pyrethrum, actually, they do have. It turns out to be a good insecticide, and they use it. There are some insect sprays that use it. But anyway, so Rabbi Yochanan says, chumti, this pyrethrum or whatever it is, ki mamru, is just as good as mamru, just as good as the alpine fennel for these throat blisters. The ikra de chumti, and the root of the chumti plant, odifni mamru, is even better than mamru for this purpose. So like this, Rabbi Yochanan is saying, everybody thinks a person has these blisters in his throat, the best thing for it is mamru, so Rabbi Yochanan tells you there's something even better available for the purpose. The ninkut, the pume, what he should do is take some of the chumti, the leaves or the root, as the case may be, and put it in his mouth. So fine, hani la'ikumi, that will prevent the infection from getting bigger. That will stop the infection from getting bigger, but it won't cure it. Lavashuli. Now, the next thing is, a person has these blisters. You want the blisters to, so to speak, ripen. In other words, you want the pus to gather in one place, and then that way they're more likely to burst open, and the pus will be released, and the blister will start going away. So, Lavashuli, so what do you do in order to cause those blisters to ripen so that they can then be, so they can then be poked open? Lysi pore de reshnafia, the first thing you take is bran from the top of the sieve, meaning when you're sifting flour, you have bran that stays in the sieve, and then you have the coarser kind of bran that stays at the top. The second ingredient is you take lentils together with the dirt that came with them. You pick lentils from the ground. You pick the lentil plant, and some dirt comes along with it. So you take those. The shublalissa. Then you take shublalissa, which is a plant called, in English, it's called fenugreek, and all over Shas, it's called tilton. In modern Hebrew, by the way, tilton is used for a different plant, clover. Because tilton comes from the word tlos, which means three, and clover is usually three leaves. In Gemara, it means, in Gemara terminology, it means a plant called fenugreek in English. In Hebrew, they call it chilbe. Yeah, they use it a lot in Yemenite cooking. The seeds of it are triangular, which is also why it's called tilton. So shublalissa is the Aramaic name for that plant. So you take that. V'chumauta d'kshusa. Then you take blossoms of hops. Kshus is an ingredient in English, it's called hops, that's used in brewing beer. So you take all of those together, v'ninkotam guzer b'pume, and you take about a walnut-sized piece of that mixture and then the person puts it in his mouth, and that, as we're saying, that will cause the blisters to ripen, that will cause now that the pus will collect more together, so that now they can burst open. L'iftuchi, to actually cause the blisters to break open and get out the pus. What you do is limpach le'chavre. Somebody else should go and blow into his mouth tachli chivarta, seeds of white cress. Tachli is a plant that's mentioned often in the Gemara. In English, it's called watercress. The regular kind is a different color, but here we're talking about the white kind. One possibility has been identified possibly as a plant called pepperwort in English. Anyway, the gila de chitza, using a straw from wheat. So you put the seeds in the straw and blow them into his mouth. And I guess the idea is the sharpness of the sharp points of the seeds will pierce the blisters and cause them to open. Last suki, now that you've gotten the blisters open, now you need to heal where they were. You need to get normal flesh to regrow over there. So what you do is lacy afra matula de besakise, take dirt from the shadow of a privy, of a bathroom. So you have, in those times, and not actual bathrooms like we did, the regular thing was people would set up some stones as like a makeshift toilet sort of, and they would sit on those. We find that concept mentioned in other places in the Gemara. So here you have the area that's in the shadow of that. So you take some of the dirt from that area, the nigbul bedusha, knead it together with honey, the nechol, and eat from that concoction, the malile, and that will help heal the area where the blisters were so that the flesh inside the throat will regrow normally. Yeah, with some of these things, it does kind of sound like the cure is worse than the disease. I don't know. Yeah. Okay, next. Labarsam, if a person is suffering from barsam, so Rashi translates it with a word that, you have the common cold where a person has a runny nose and other symptoms, there's an old medical word for it, catarrh. So Rashi translates it with a similar word in French, and it means a very bad cold. The Aruch gives a different definition of barsam. A different sefer I mentioned yesterday called Medrash HaRefuah says that barsam may instead mean one of a couple of other things. It may mean arthritis, or it may mean where a person has an infection near their brain and there's pus over there. Anyway, it fits better really with the list that the Gemara is giving over here seems to be going downward in the body. So now that the last one we talked about was an infection, blisters in the throat, it sounds like barsam should be something below that. So I don't know. I think I've also seen. I think I seem to remember that an explanation from the Aruch that it means a disease called pleurisy in English, where you have the membranes around the lungs are infected. I don't remember for sure if that was the translation for this or for something else. But if so, then that would fit as far as the order of things the Gemara is listing over here. So for that condition. Leisik pistica denisidur. The first thing you take is a pistica size, the pistica Rashi describes, is an acorn. So you take an acorn-sized piece of nishidur, or nishadur, or however it's pronounced, which is something called ammoniac. It's a resin. It's a gum from a tree that contains ammonia, hence the name. It's a resin from certain trees that grow in certain areas around the Mediterranean. So you take a walnut size, no, not a walnut, an acorn sized piece of that stuff. Then you take a walnut sized piece of sweet chelbana. So chelbana, we know, we're familiar with, is one of the ingredients of the ketores. It's a resin or a gum from a certain tree. So here you have, normally it smells bad, here you have a kind of it that at least, maybe I don't know how it smells, but at least that it tastes sweet. Dufshanissa, that tastes like honey. Then a spoonful or a ladleful of white honey. I guess that means like light-colored honey, I guess. Umalei natla bas mechuzah chamra nekiga, and a mechuzah natla is a keli that holds a revius. Specifically, there was a size of it that they used in the city of mechuzah, chamra nekiga of clear wine. Rashi describes, in other words, wine that's not red, so some kind of white wine. So you mix all the initial kinu bahadi adori, cook all of those ingredients together. And how do you know when you've cooked it long enough? V'chibashol nishdur bashol lekule. When the ammoniac has finished cooking, when that's, I guess, become softened or dissolved or whatever, then you know that all of it is cooked because that particular ingredient takes the longest one to cook down. And then you have that concoction, and then I guess you give it to the guy to drink. The eloi, if not, if you tried that and it didn't work, or you can't get all those ingredients, lace a revius of the chelba de izachivarti, take a revius of milk from a white goat, then he taithi atlas kilchi karba, drip that milk over three stalks of cabbage in a keli, the nifshashi the gavza de marmehin, stir it with a piece of wood, with a twig from a marmehin, which is a type of tree. Again, when the twig of the marmahin is cooked, then you know the whole thing is cooked because that particular ingredient takes the longest to cook, and then you give it to him to drink or whatever it is. The eloi, if not, leisi nafka de kalba chivra, then the next possibility is you take the waste, the excrement of a white dog, the nigbo benatfa, and knead it together with balsam. Not natva, like we have in Peter Makteris, not for shalas. The kamad efshir natva loy nechol. However, as much as possible, you should avoid eating the droppings. If you can use any other remedy, it actually explains. Or if the person can tolerate the sickness, then better not to demafric, because the droppings have the problem that it causes mafric. It actually explains it causes his limbs to come apart, like it loosens in his joints or whatever. The Aruch gives a different explanation of it. It makes him infertile. Side effect. Next, legira. If a person is suffering from gira, Rashi gives another French word for it that translates to a sharp pain, a shooting pain. One possibility that they mention, we're talking about things in the chest area. So one particular possibility is it means an infection of the membranes around the heart. It's called in medical it's called pericarditis, and it does tack a cause very sharp shooting pains. Whatever it is, lacy gira delilsa. The first thing you take is a gira delilsa. Gira literally means an arrow, and the disease is called that because it feels like sharp shooting pain, like an arrow. Gira delilsa literally means the arrow of Lilith. Rashi describes that it's a stone, it's a kind of stone that's shaped like an arrow that falls together with hail. So Bapashtos, we're talking about some kind of meteorite. So people, I guess, called it the arrow of Lilith, because like they picture it as like the shade of a shooting arrows at people. Anyway, the nipche, turn it upside down so that the point is pointing upward. The nishti, maya ilave, pour water over that stone, that meteorite or whatever. The nishti, and then the person should drink that water. The Eloi, if not, if you can't get a hold of such a thing, we tried it, it didn't work. Then he should take some water that a dog drank from at night. However, you should be careful of the fact throughout Shas, we find there's a problem with water that was left uncovered because a snake might have drunk from it. So be careful that you're not in a place, that it's not in a place where snakes are commonly found, where a snake might have drunk from it and injected venom into it. Next, Ligiluye, if a person did drink such a liquid that was left exposed and that a snake might have drunk from, then what he should do is he should drink anapka de chamrachaye, he should drink an anapka, which is also another name for a revius. Rashi describes the actual keli itself is also called anapka de chamrachaye of undiluted wine. Lemursa, if a person is suffering from blisters or abscesses or other things like that. Again, Rashi uses a French translation for it that basically amounts to an abscess. Anapka de chamra ba'ala tulona. Then what you should drink again an anapka or revius of wine, but this time it should be mixed with ba'ala tulona. It should be mixed together with red aloe. Rashi explains, ohala means aloe, and tulona is like telas shani, so it means like a very, very deep red color. Okay, next, lepircha de liver, if a person has fluttering of his heart, Rashi's French translation is a word that in French means fainting. So he's having fainting spells, or something like that, or he's having a fluttering heartbeat or whatever, which kind of amounts to the same thing. Anyway, Lacy Tlas Brushiosa Desiri, he should take three loaves of barley bread, Vinishtirinu Bakamcha, dip them or soak them, in Kamcha. Kamcha is also known in throughout Shas as Kutach. It was a dip that they had in those days made out of sour milk, moldy bread crumbs and salt. The Gemara mentions it in Pesachim as one of the things you have to get rid of before Pesach. The Gemara mentions there it's not really very good for you health-wise. And then so the Gemara, there's actually a Gemara in Shabbos that mentions that the Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael, I think one of the Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael, Abba, I think it was particular, would throw up every time they even mentioned this concept of Kamchatim. It sounded so revolting. Anyway, but it was a common dip that they had in those times. You find it mentioned in various places in Shasta. Here, you take the barley bread and you soak them or dip them in that stuff. But the kamch has to be less than 40 days old. The nechol, and then you should eat that bread soaked in that concoction. The nishkia basrayu chamra malka, and then after that he should drink very diluted wine. Malka means weak, so very weak wine. But Achami Difti asks Ravina, what kind of a cure is that? With that kind of thing, with the weak wine like that, or all of these things are going to weaken him. It's going to make his heart flutter even more. It's going to make him even more prone to fainting spells. So Ravina said, you're right. Anola Yukra Delibri Amri. I didn't say that these things are where a person is feeling a faintness or a fluttering of his heart. Just the opposite. This is the kind of thing where a person feels a heaviness of the heart. In other words, I guess whatever that would mean exactly, but something, it could be angina, it could be something like that, some kind of heart pain. Lepircha de libra, as far as when a person is having the fluttering heart or the fainting spells, then it's the other way around. Lacy tlas brushiosa de chiti, then take three loaves of wheat bread, vinishtirin beduvsha, soak them in honey, vinechol, and eat that, vinishtibas abasrayo, chamrachaya, and after those, drink undiluted wine. That would be the better thing when the person is having fainting spells. The Gemara continues, Lepsarcha deliba, when a person is having heart pain. So before we had lightness of heart, heaviness of heart. Now we have where a person is having, his heartbeat is normal, I guess, but he's having some other kind of pain. Lacy Tlas Beyaninya, he should take three egg-sized volumes of mint. That's the girsa we have in front of us in Maseres Hashas in the Gemara. It brings a different girsa, which is that he should take three eggs and soak them in mint or dip them in mint anyway. Or be also de kamona, an egg sized piece of cumin. Or be also de shumshimi, an egg sized piece of sesame seeds. An egg sized pair, a ball or whatever of sesame seeds. The leichel and eat all of that. Next, going further down in the body, lakeiv mei, when a person is having stomach, when a person is having intestinal pain, leisi tlas mea pilpili arichta, he should get 300 long peppers. Peppers, by the way, we don't mean, in Gemara terminology, we don't mean peppers as in, like the bell peppers or hot peppers that we have nowadays. Those are native to America. They didn't have those in the time of the Gemara. Pepper, in Gemara terminology, means like the peppercorns, like we have, like black pepper and white pepper, ground up to make white pepper or black pepper or other things like that. So there's the usual ones that you can find. You can buy them whole in the store around, but apparently there's also long ones. So 300 of those. Every day, I should drink 100 of them mixed with wine. So I guess, I don't know whether it means that they should be whole or whether he grinds them up and mixes them with the wine. Whatever the case, he does that for 3 days in succession. The Gemara points out, Rovin de Minerish, one time, Rav Ashi's daughter was suffering from this illness, from this ke'ev mei, from this intestinal difficulties. So Rovin from Neresh prepared for her such a concoction, but he only used mei v'chamshin mehani didan. Instead of using 300 long peppers, he used 150 of the more common kind that they could find in Babel, mixed with wine, v'itasi, and it cured her. So you see, you don't necessarily need the 300 long ones. The Gemara continues, Lakirsa, if a person is suffering from worms in his intestines, anapka de chamri, you should drink, again, an anapka, which is a revius of wine, ba'atrafa de ara, mixed together with a leaf from a laurel tree. Lakirza chivra, if he's suffering from white worms, I guess the other worms are some other color, leisi bizra gaugula, he should take a seed of the gaugula plant, in American English it's called arugula. Take a seed of that, then it's cited the shistag, tie it up in strips of cotton, then it's tied it in maya, soak it in water, and then drink the water that all that was soaked in. Then he's diarmi binsa, but be careful not to swallow the actual seed, the eloi, because if he's not careful, mankavalela mayane, the seed is sharp enough that it could pierce his intestines. Lemesar, if a person is having diarrhea and he needs to bind up and prevent that. So what he should do is he should have sisin retiva, take fresh sisin, which is Rashi's French word, is a plant that in English is called pennyroyal. It's a family, it's a plant from the mint family. So fresh sisin, the maya mixed with soaked in water. The Mishra, if it's the other way around, if he's constipated and needs to loosen himself up, Yabishta Bamaya, then he should also use this pennyroyal, but instead it should be dry and then soak it in water. The Simanach, the way to remember which one is which. Itza Dutiva de Sochanara. Think of, there's a known kind of grass or herb called Itza. When it's moist, when it's fresh, then people use it to create temporary dams in rivers. So that helps you remember that the fresh, here you're not using Itza, here you're using a different plant, but it helps you remember that the fresh stuff is used for stopping up, and then you know the flip side is that the dry stuff is used for getting things loose. Batachla, if a person is having problems with a spleen, leisi shave bini demaya, he should take seven leeches that grow in the water, v'niyabshinu betula, and dry them in the shade. So like we talked about yesterday, means don't leave them out in the sun to dry, put them in a shady area, and eventually they'll dry anyway. V'chol yom nishti tauter plus of a chamra, every day you should drink two or three of those with wine. You have to wonder. I mean, unlike most of the ingredients we were talking about until now, with plant ingredients, this one is one that's not kosher. I guess we have to understand that this tachla is enough of a serious disease that you'd be allowed to use something that's not kosher for that purpose. You could also argue with shaloi kederachana also. It's not the normal way. So I'll derech like have with some medications nowadays that there's a certain heter to take them, even if they're not strictly 100% kosher. The eloy, if not, leisi tachla v'tzipauta d'lo iftach. If not, then he should take the spleen of a tzipauta of a goat d'lo iftach that has never given birth. V'nitachia b'tanura. You should take that, spleen and then press it in an oven, v'nuki lahade, and stand in front of it, v'nema, and say the following lachash, ki hechid yabish hai tachla, just as this spleen is drying up in the oven, niyabish tachlaya deplaini, this person's spleen that he's suffering from bloating of it or whatever, should dry up and go back to no deplaini by plonis, or plaini by plonis. The Eloi, and if that doesn't work, nitriye bene urbi, then take the spleen and press it between bricks, between rows of bricks, the base of chabta of a new house, the name of hochi, and say the same lachash. The Eloi, if you can't do that either, livki shachva de shoch of the shabza, you should go look for a person who passed away on Shabbos, the nishle the yode, take that person's hand in his hand, the nosra tachle, take that dead person's hand and place it on top of his spleen, on his stomach where the spleen is located, the neima and say, ki heche de yabish ho yoda, just as this hand of this person is dried up, ni yabish tachlai de plony by plonisa, so should plony by plonisa's spleen dry up. The Eloi, if not, Nesib Binisa, take a fish, a Binisa is a type of small fish, the Nitvie Benapcha, roast it in a blacksmith's shop, the Nechle Bemaya de Benapcha, eat it together with the water that the blacksmith used to quench the metal that he was working with, the Nishti Bemaya de Benapcha, and also drink some of the water from there. As in fact, the Gemara gives an example. Ahu Iza, Dahi Iza. So, but one thing is, the spleen in the body has the job of recycling red blood cells and reusing the iron in them. So maybe the point is, if a person's spleen is bloated, it means he has an iron deficiency. So now, if he's going to be using this thing quenched in the blacksmith's water and drinking some of the water over there, he's going to get enough iron that it'll help him. In fact, the Gemara tells that he is a davas shasya maya de benapcha. It one time happened, there was a goat that was regularly drinking this blacksmith's water, ishtachit, when eventually they shechted that goat, they couldn't find a spleen in it at all, the spleen had completely disappeared from all of the iron that it was getting in there all the time. The Eloi, if not, lift a chavisa de chamri l'shmei, then open up a new wine in his honor. In other words, let him drink a lot of good wine. However, the Gemara says, what's the good of that one? If the person has available to him so easily to buy a barrel of wine, he doesn't need to come to you to ask for healing anyway. Wine in general is a refuah. The Gemara in Bava Basra has an expression that wine is the most important of all medicines. Ella mirago pas shachris. Rather, instead, what the person should do, he should get used to eating breakfast in the morning. Demalia lekolei gofer. That's in general good for the whole body. As the Gemara mentions elsewhere, an expression that 60 runners ran, meaning everybody goes and runs, but they can't even catch up for a person who eats breakfast in the morning. Pas shachris, it's also broad. It means pnimius yinyanim, also means the chassidus that a person learns in the morning before davening. That has the effect on all the machlos, all the ruchniistic machlos in the world. Yom Yom Mashiach Ha'Gaola, Yud Aleph Nissen. So that I've talked about, we have to announce to everybody in the generation that Hashem has chosen a certain person, a Baal Bechira, where he himself is far higher than the whole generation, and he's the Shechtayach and the Yayatayach and the Novi of the generation, that he's going to tell everybody and give Eitzis about everybody to the generation and everything of Torah and Mitzvahs, and it doesn't take a genius to figure out who the Rebbe is referring to, and that as far as telling everybody how to act in daily life and in Kol Yerachecha De'eyo and Kol Ma'asecha Yiyu L'Shem Shemayim, and up to and most importantly the primary Nevuah, which is, and he's saying as a Novi, that La'al to L'Gol and take her from Yad Mamashini as their Mashiach.
Amen.
Real quick, a halacha about Erev Pesach Chalis B'Shabbos, as we have this year. So, as we know, we do B'dikas Chometz a night early, so we do it on Thursday night. We are mevatel it afterwards. We say the regular Kol Hamira just like every other year. Friday, we burn it, and so we can't burn it on Shabbos, obviously, we burn it on Friday. You should do it at the same time you do every, by the same deadline that you do every year, because you don't want to think in a future year that you can burn it later in the day. So whatever the deadline is for Seif Zman, Bir Chometz, 11:48, I think it is, you should keep to that even though it's Friday, even though in theory you'd have the whole day. Then you don't say Kol Chamira, because you can't be Mevatel the Chometz yet. You still have another 23 hours at that point to eat Chometz. So instead, you say you could say the Yehi Rotzen at that point, because fine, Kashem Shani Mevar Chometz, you can say that. But the Kol Chamira, you would say Shabbos after you finish eating, before the end of the fifth hour, before the end of Sof Zman Bir Chometz, that's when you would say Kol Chamira.